the biggest stories from the pages of the London Free Press and lfpress.com. This is the London Free Press Podcast with your host, Rachel Gilbert.
Welcome to the London Free Press Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Gilbert. The trial of a man accused of second-degree murder at a Bush party in 2021 is in its seventh week now. And today I'm talking with London Free Press court reporter Jane Sims, about all the twists and turns that this trial has seen so far, and really how busy she has been in the last few weeks. Hi, Jane. How are you?
Hi, Rachel. I'm tired.
Yes, I bet. Okay. What is going on at the courthouse? I think you're living there lately.
It has been really, really busy. As someone said to me, it's almost like sort of the last wave of COVID and all the delay coming through, that there's been a crunch now of a whole lot of major trials that we've been trying to keep tabs of.
Okay.
We have, and also there's a couple other things happening. The pretrial motions for the Hockey Canada trial that's this April have started.
Right.
We can't report on any of those because they're pretrial, but those are drawing a lot of attention. Mm. Even today, there is a jury trial, a manslaughter trial going on that's begun this week, involving a guy named Joshua Bernacki, who is charged in the heroin overdose of a woman here in London. It's one of those manslaughter trials where we have someone who is charged for selling the drugs to someone who died. We have another homicide trial that we are not seeing anything of because it is a retrial that a judge is watching the first trial in her chambers for Miguel Chacon Perez from back in 2016. So we're keeping an eye on that.
Okay.
But what's been dominating my life for the past 7 weeks has been this Bush party trial. And it was a case that I think captured the city's attention when it happened, because it was so shocking. Mm-hmm. An 18-year-old boy by the name of Josue Silva was stabbed to death, shot to death at this Bush party that was a gathering of young people out near Lambeth. Mm-hmm. And what we are discovering in this case, first of all, we started with two defendants. We now have one defendant. The jury now knows that someone else involved, the third defendant, has already pleaded guilty to manslaughter. Mm-hmm. And there are like a load of witnesses that we've heard from giving different perspectives of what's going on.
This story to me is so chaotic. It's hard to keep track of all the people and what exactly happened that night, because there have been so many witnesses, so many people testifying. So I've kind of tried to put this in chronological order. I can only imagine what you're trying to do at the courthouse every day. Okay, so this Bush party happened July 31st, 2021, just off Pack Road, kind of in the Lambeth area. So set the scene for us just, you know, before the chaos began, which was around 12:30-ish, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was just kind of a regular party, but lots of kids, regular Bush party, bonfire. What was going on?
You had a whole bunch of kids. Some of them are graduated high school and had finished first year university. Others are still in high school. These are kids who've been COVID bound for a long time. And this was a midsummer, beautiful night party out in this clearing in Southeast London. And it was supposed to be a birthday party for somebody. That's what a lot of the kids had gone there for. But I think word got out that this was going to be, that they're having this party. And we heard yesterday from a police officer who looked at surveillance video and counted the people going in and coming out. And at about quarter to 12, I guess it was, yeah, or quarter to 11, quarter to 12, there was at maximum 156 kids out in
Wow.
the bush.
Yeah.
And big bonfire, everybody's drinking, everybody's having fun. And then there was an argument, and the argument, I will tell you, first of all, originally, there was a woman charged in this case by the name of Emily Altman. At the time, she went to the party with a bunch of friends, but she really wasn't involved with the other people at the party, didn't really know them, it appears, and somebody threw a drink, and there's different perspectives because there's so many kids. Someone said they got splashed. Some said they got hit with a can.
Mm-hmm.
There were others who said that there was some hostilities over the fact that some of these people were taking cell phone shots of these folks that they they didn't know and really didn't, some of them they didn't like and didn't want them there. And it
Okay.
just caused amongst a bunch of teenage girls, a bunch of a yelling match.
Okay. So there was
And
an
all the,
altercation about this thrown drink.
right. And so there's kind of two sides, and one is Altman and her friends, and the other is a woman by the name of Isabella Restrepo, who has already testified in this case, who threw the drink. And then, but everybody saw it in a different way. And what happens is is Restrepo's boyfriend at the time, a young man by the name of Logan Marshall. He and his friend stepped in and maybe not so politely, certainly with a lot of profanity between both sides, asked this group to leave. And there are differing accounts about whether they followed them up the path. They might have gone a little bit of the ways, but they went like, shoo, out you go.
Right. Okay.
These people left. We heard from a witness yesterday who was with the group that was leaving, who was the only male with them. It was a boyfriend of a woman by the name of Lena Lateef, who was in the middle of this,
Okay.
that Alden made a phone call on the way out. He knew who it was because he'd been introduced to him before, and it was Carlos Garrigera. And he talked to Carlos on the phone. And then Emily went back to her car, talked to Carlos again. We know that. And Carlos shows up with his friend Dylan Schapp and two women, one of whom is Dylan Schapp's girlfriend. And Schapp and Garrigera are dressed all in black and they're wearing masks. And they go back into the bush with Altman and her friends. And meanwhile, the people in the bush party have found out somebody's coming into the bush. They've somebody seen a machete on
Oh
one of
my.
them. Yes. And so they've warned
On one of
everybody.
these two men that were coming, that were called. Okay.
Yes. So there is a machete. We now know that there's a machete involved. And it appears one of them is wearing a fanny pack. They are seen going back to the party, to the bonfire, looking around. It appeared they were looking for someone. Meanwhile, the other group has hidden in the bush. These kids are hiding in the bush.
Because they're scared?
They're terrified because
Right,
they've
okay.
now heard somebody's coming in with at least a machete. They're armed with something.
Sure.
Yesterday, we heard from Mackenzie Tulloch, who was the boyfriend involved with the girl in the first altercation, that he saw Garrigera with a gun right by the bonfire. They decide to leave that group because they can't find who they're looking for. And these kids come out of the bushes, according to Logan Marshall, who was a witness this week, probably a key Crown witness. They were trying to leave, and they just came out at the wrong time. They came right in front of them. There was two wrestling matches. Logan Marshall was assaulted and hit in the back of the head with something metal, and that's why there is a charge of assault with a weapon, namely a blunt object.
Okay. And
And
that
then he
charge is
got,
against Garagara.
yes,
Okay.
then he was able to get up and run away, and then came the gunshot that I can't remember. I think Logan heard the gunshot. I'm not sure. I can't remember. My memory is, I'm a little fuzzy because there's been a lot going on.
There's
But
a lot of details here, yeah.
a lot of people heard the gunshot. Some thought it was a firework. Everybody takes off running. They're all 18, 19-year-old kids.
Course, yeah.
And Josue Silva was on the ground and he was bleeding to death. He'd been shot in the abdomen.
Now
Nobody called 911. Sorry, go ahead,
his
Rachel.
friends knew Jose's friends, or Josue, sorry.
Josue, yeah.
Josue's friends knew he was down. They said he was looking pale, but did he know he'd been shot at the time? Because he was saying, "Oh, I'm fine," to his friends, right?
Remember, it is pitch black. It's absolutely pitch black. And so they thought he might have been drunk, maybe, or maybe he's kind
Sure.
of, or maybe, and then there was some thought maybe he was hit with a firework. And no, but you remember, you're invincible when you're 18, right? And nobody thinks it's as bad as this. And he collapsed. And there was a delay in calling 911 because these kids were, they were kids. That's the way I see it anyway, but
You do
they're
say in your
on.
story some of the kids were scared, were told not to by other kids, don't tell anyone. So they were
Yeah.
scared to call 911.
Well,
What was some of the thoughts
meanwhile,
around that? Because they were called. I mean, somebody did call them eventually.
yeah, kids in the bush called 911, but the girls who were back in Emily Altman's car, they didn't do anything. because they said that Emily had been threatened by had shown them a text message that was a threat from Mr. Garagara that said, "You know what happens to you if you snitch." So they didn't call. Meanwhile, the 911 calls going in were that it was a, that some kid got hit with a firework. So things were, there wasn't the urgency. They were out in the middle of nowhere. By the time the paramedics got there and went, "Oh my goodness, what's happened here?" Mr. Silva was, Josue was gravely injured, and he died at hospital. There was a, yeah, it's a horrible story. It's a horrible story, and it's full of all these really, this is my perspective. I see a lot of really nice kids, kids that are trying to, you know, do something with their lives, going to school, they're working, they're, you know, they're 3 or 4 years older now. I think they're looking back at this as, you know, the worst thing that ever happened to them, obviously. And now they're being asked to relive it.
To
And
relive it.
in a situation where they're being challenged on the defense side pretty rigorously, and being there are suggestions that they're lying, suggestions that they colluded, suggestions of all kinds of suggestions that have come at them. It's been at times uncomfortable to watch. And then we've had some twists, and I can tell you about those twists as far as I can tell you, right?
Right. So Melissa Altman, I had a question about Melissa Altman
Oh,
and
yeah.
Carlos Guerra-Guerra. Did they know any of the people at the party, or how were they connected to the party? You said Altman didn't really know anyone.
Yeah, Emily Altman was a friend of Jamie Fajardo, who was at the party. She knew some kids at the party. I think it was one of those situations, from what I can gather, is like, "Oh, there's a bush party. We should
Let's
go."
just go.
And yeah.
So you
So,
might know some people, but not all of them. Sure.
right.
So
So, and
Altman
Gara
was,
Gara knew no one. Gara Gara didn't know anybody.
and he only showed up because he was
Yes.
called to come in. And for,
Yes.
do we know what
But,
was said to him? You know, call
and
and do what?
that's an issue, right? So
Right.
he was called in basically, I think the way I've worded it, it was to you know, to settle the beef, right? Settle the score, because they went back into the party because of this thrown drink situation and this little scuffle between teenagers, and went back in there on behalf of this other group. Yeah, he you know, I have this picture in my mind. I can't imagine what these kids thought when these two guys come in that are masked up and in
So
black.
you do say in some of the testimonies, the kids say that they noticed him all in black with a COVID mask on, because you know it's 2021, standing by the fire, and it seemed like they were afraid of him. They were a little curious, or you know, cautious of him. What was the what
Bad
were they
vibes.
saying? Bad
They
vibes,
have
yeah.
bad vibes. And they're the Mr. Schaap, and I can tell you this, Mr. Schaap has pled guilty to manslaughter earlier, and the jury knows that. He's been described as having this big machete and kind of hitting some trees and cutting off some leaves and standing around with a mask on. They weren't masked up for COVID. They were masked up so nobody knew where they were. And apparently, allegedly, I think.
Of course,
That's what it appears to be. That's up to the jury to figure out, but they were masked. There was nobody else wearing masks at that party.
No,
No.
okay. So Melissa Altman was charged in this case as well, and her and Gera Gera were both in this trial, but suddenly she's now absent. What happened there?
Well, I can tell you that this began with two people charged with second degree murder and assault with a weapon. We went for 5 weeks with that, 5 to 6 weeks with that. There was testimony by a young, the last witness before the events happened was in, by the name of Jessica Fajardo, who was the younger sister of Jamie Fajardo, who was only 15 at the time. And after her evidence was given, she, because her perspective was completely different than what anybody else said, the Crown the Crown announced to the jury that they would no longer be pursuing a second-degree murder charge against Ms. Altman, and they
Okay.
were going to prosecute manslaughter. That was on a Thursday. The court did not come back. We were supposed to be back Monday. I think that was on, was that Thursday or Friday? Anyway, supposed to be back on Monday. The jury was told not to come in. They didn't come in until later in the week, until Thursday. And at that point, there was only Mr. Gara-Gara and his lawyer sitting at the defense table. And Justice Moore, Patricia Moore, said to them, "You'll notice that Ms. Altman's not here. She and her defense team have been excused from the trial, and you are not to speculate as to why." And that's as far as it goes right now.
Okay.
So
So
she is no
we
longer
don't
part of
know
the trial.
why. Right. Okay.
Jury doesn't know. Jury
Do
doesn't
we
know yet.
know if there will if she will have her own trial later on?
Can't say.
Don't know.
Not at
Okay.
this point. Not at this
Okay.
point. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so the let's talk about also the assault on Logan Marshall. He was hit with something, a metal, kind of in the scuffle when they were trying to leave the party. And ended up with a concussion. Is that right? So
That's correct.
how is he doing now? Does he have any after effects of that?
He was a good witness. He was very clear and concise and quite believable in it. Yeah, he's fine. He actually is now he's a geography he takes a specialized geography major at Western, but in the summers he has been a firefighter in northern Manitoba fighting
Okay.
wildfires. He was fine after the concussion. I think for him, Josue Silva was his best friend. And there's a lot of kids who are really hurting because of what happened, and he's one of them, I would say, because he's in the middle of it. And he was the guy who was identified as the boyfriend of the girl who threw the drink. He appears to have been the guy that they recognized in before the attack. Yeah, he's but that is that charge is secondary to the obviously the second degree murder
Second degree murder.
conviction. The other thing I'm going to add too is that there's one admission that was made in this trial after all of this commotion and the fragility of eyewitness testimony and the use of social media and Snapchat. I've learned more about Snapchat in this trial.
I
And
bet.
kids documenting their lives all the time and taking pictures all the time and the way we talk to they talk to each other and communicate and everything. The bombshell this past week is that there was an admission made by the defense that Mr. Gara-Gara fired the gun that shot Josue Silva. That's been an admission at the trial.
Okay.
So
Wow.
we are now in a
Why
spot.
after all this time would they admit that?
You want to see, I guess you want to see where the evidence goes, right? Courtroom strategy is always difficult to sort of piece out. It becomes clearer as the puzzle pieces go together a little bit more. I think we will find out in the coming days why that admission has been made.
Okay.
There has been a lot of indication that the direction that the defense has been going, there's been a lot of talk about the group who says they were attacked. The defense was, well, they were the attackers, and they were wanting a fight, and so we'll see where that goes. We'll see where that
Okay.
goes.
Have
Yeah.
we heard from Gara-Gara, Carlos Gara-Gara, or Dylan Shap, who's already pled guilty, or even Altman herself on the stand? Have any of them testified at all? No.
No, and no, and it doesn't appear at this point. Well, we'll see. I mean, it's getting pretty late in the game. No, we have not heard from Mr. Schapp. Ms. Altman, like I said, has been excused from the trial. When someone's excused from the trial, they're excused from the trial, right? So,
Right.
and as far as Mr. Gara-Gara is concerned, that's going to be if and when the Crown closes its case.
Okay.
I say if and when because it seems they've gone on for a really, really long time. When it closes its case, what happens is that the defense will be put to their election, and they can elect to call evidence. And if they decide to call evidence, we'll see what happens. Or they
Okay.
can say, no, we're not calling any evidence. But that comes once the Crown closes its case, and I suspect they're going to want a few days to kind of figure that out.
What has been Gara-Gara's demeanor in court? What, is he
He is
doing?
he sits with his he sits with his defense lawyer. He's sometimes typing on a computer. He's quiet. He's very tall and lean. He wears his hair in a little bit of a ponytail, a little bit of a bun at the back. He's pretty I don't see a lot of emotion coming out of him. I think it's there's been he there's been a lot of I'm just gonna let my lawyer do what he's gonna do, right? And we'll see what happens. But gosh, like we've heard him on we well his police statements were played for the jury, and where he was quite and at least in the first one, I would say congenial but maintained he did nothing wrong. We'll see where this goes. He's he has he's it's I just think it's going to be interesting where this case now heads. I will say this, the at the beginning of the trial, when the jury's being selected, it took a very long time to read off all the names, and it was about 200 names of people who could, in fact, either be a witness or were involved in the trial. So this was a mammoth case, and it has been every week we're seeing it. It's the witness list that the Crown has worked really, really hard here to kind of sort of
Pare it down.
get a lid on this thing.
Yeah, sure.
So. And I
It's
mean, I will tell
often.
you, you're facing that going, oh my gosh, how are we going to get through all these witnesses? But
Right.
we're working, we're
Gonna go
moving along.
forever. Well, 7 weeks is a long time. Talk a little bit more about the use of social media. You do mention in your stories that of course kids are taking videos. I know that's how teenagers, they don't text, they snap, right? That's how they talk. That's how they communicate. But people were angry that others were taking videos of them. And so what's been some of the discussions around social media in the trial so far?
I think one of the things that if you aren't, if you haven't hung around young people and know what they're up to, and I can say this because I got kids in their 20s, right? So you wouldn't know what Snapchat was and how it works. And like, kids are testifying to like they have all these people on Snapchat. Like they have like 1,000 kids on their Snapchat. They don't know who they are. Like they just snap all the time. And they'll take pictures of anything and just put it up there for people to see. And Snapchat, if my own kids have explained it to me properly and what I heard in court, I mean, Snapchat, I don't snap. But, basically you're taking pictures of anything and they disappear, right? Unless you want to keep them. But for the most part, you take a picture and people look at it and they might comment, they might say something, and then
It's
it
gone.
just it's gone. But you can Snapchat has snap maps that's come up in the trial that you can say where your location is, and snap maps actually helped Logan Marshall get out of the woods when he ran away, when he ran off after he'd been attacked. His friends snapped him and they were able to get him out of the bush. They use Snapchat to just chit chat with each other, but they also use Snapchat and all the other social media things, apps and everything else. There was an awful lot of rumors and innuendo and suggestions and gossip after this happened. And a lot of things that were said that were wildly inaccurate. But
And
this is a community tension.
is it being used as evidence? Like, are police able to still find it even though you think it's disappeared?
I think they found some stuff, like they found some, right? But the problem is this, I can't imagine for investigators what a nightmare this was, because you had all these kids, they're drunk, a lot of them, they've been partying, right? And they're traumatized, and they're all talking
Absolutely.
back and forth, and they're in some respects, I thought sometimes that I'm sitting there, they're kind of like they're playing, it's almost like a detective game for them, like to try to figure out who did what and everything else, and it must have been extraordinarily difficult for investigators to kind of, map out exactly what happened. And it's and I will tell you, it is difficult to follow because the fragility of eyewitness testimony, particularly in the dark, in the middle of a bush,
After you've been drinking.
and 4 years later, almost 4 years
Yes,
later, and
sure.
you're being asked to remember little tiny pieces of what you did and what you said.
Right.
It has
That's
been
hard.
it's and it's bless this jury, they've been hanging in there.
Okay, well, I mean, where do we go from here? Dylan Schapp has pled guilty, so has he been sentenced yet, or what's happening with him? Not yet.
No, not yet.
Carlos Garagiola is the only one on trial right now. How long do we think this is going to last? It's already been 7 weeks.
Well, I'll say this. I can't give an exact estimate because we know this with trials. We know that at the beginning that this jury was told, prepare yourself, this could go 10 weeks. And I have to say, when they said 10 weeks, I thought this could go longer than that. However, there is hope, I think, that this will be done before Christmas, simply because now we're only dealing with, there's a whole sort of swath of this case is now kind of been lopped away now that Ms. Altman has been excused from the proceedings. So
Sure.
things narrowed down even more.
Okay.
So the hope is that, we could have this done this month. That's and I think that that is a pretty realistic possibility, but who knows when these cases go, right?
Sure.
You just got to see what
Yeah.
twist comes next.
Okay. Well, it looks like you're going to be hanging out at the courthouse until Christmas. So we will watch for your stories. Well, you're there all the time anyway. But you are very busy right now. So thank you, Jane, and we'll watch for your stories and updates on this. I'm sure you'll have them at lfpress.com. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, Rachel.